Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is...
Lawrence Van Beek.
Lawrence Van Beek.
We're like the Simpsons. We do a different start every time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. We should run and sit on a couch now. Anywho. Anywho.
Buddy, and lick things with our lizard tongues.
That's right. Ooh, lizard. Good to be with you again. Mm-hmm. For those of you keeping track, we actually recorded two podcasts in 1 week, so like we're flying right now. This for sure is the last one for 3 weeks, and then we won't be there for 3 weeks. And we'll be back, and you know, we had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun.
The wine and the song, like the seasons have all gone.
See, I was done right there. Once I did my part, I was. I'm up.
Are we recording yet?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry for checking.
No worries. No worries to you. Anyway, I'll call you that name offline. anywho, that's number two. But we're going to talk about Acts 12, right?
Yes. And this is one chapter. There's a lot of things going on in this chapter.
Yeah. Like, for example, in the first five verses, somebody's about to go to prison.
And somebody gets killed.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go.
So maybe without further ado, should I jump in?
Yes, sir.
Okay, folks, starting Acts 12, verse 1, I'm going to read from 1 to 5. About that time, Herod, the king of... Sorry, let's try that one more time, because I was going to slur that all together. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church.
Yeah, and so violent hands, that's different than spirit fingers.
I was thinking jazz hands.
Jazz hands.
Oh, that seems different.
So now, Stephen, this Herod, which you pointed out to me, because I couldn't remember if it was Agrippa or Antipa, but you said this is Herod Agrippa.
Right.
And if you remember, there was a Herod when Jesus was born who killed the innocents, right? Which is really only recorded in Luke, the killing of the innocents. That was Herod the Great. And Herod the Great, I mean, they used to have a saying, it's better to be as hoose than as huios. And everybody would chuckle, eh? Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
And what that meant was, it's better to be his pig than his son.
Because wow.
Herod the Great would kill his sons, but he was Idumean, so he wouldn't eat pork. So that's where the expression came from.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, they were ruthless people. And yet, he was a political genius. They actually said that he supported, forgot the guy's name, Antony, against Julius Caesar.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah. And he supported him. And then when that changed, he actually went back to Rome and said, I supported your opponent. And if you will support me, I will support, if you will let me live and let me have my kingdom, I will support you with the same fervor that I supported him. And Rome bit. And they gave him the kingship over Judea. Over Palestine.
Okay.
And so Herod was a brilliant political man. Hmm. Just not a very good father.
Yeah.
But he was alive at Jesus' time, but this is not Herod the Great. This is his offspring. This is Herod Agrippa now. Or Herod Agrippa, right? It's the Herod Agrippa.
Yeah.
Later on it's Antipa.
So is that I think it's the grandson, right? Is that how
I'm thinking grandson. I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah.
Because when he died, then his sons and his children, it might have been grandson though, took over his kingdom. There was Philip, and then the Herods as well, and they divided his, and none of them were as good or as powerful as him.
Right. Right.
But this is the one who's in charge now, and he kills James, the brother of John, with the sword. So he had James killed. You read about a James in here that's in charge of the church, right? Okay. This is not that James. This James is James the Apostle. Okay. So it's James the Apostle gets killed, But James, the head of the church, the brother of Jesus, he continues on in the book of Acts. So, you can get confused with them if you're not careful.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, so Herod kills James, and the Jews are really pleased. Like the people in Jerusalem are really pleased.
Yeah.
And so he says, well, I might as well do more political things and make these guys happy. Because they're not happy with the Herods. The Jewish people do not like the Herods. Herod the Great, he rebuilt the temple, the second temple. That's the second temple period, right?
Right.
And he rebuilds that. Or he rebuilds the temple, or pretty much does. But they didn't like him because he was Idumean. That means Herod was an offspring of Esau.
Oh.
The brother of Jacob, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So they had a lot of reasons to not like him.
Right.
And he did a lot of stuff for the Jewish people, and he did a lot of building and a lot of terrific things, but they didn't like him. Hmm. So his offspring had the same problem. They were trying to win the Jews over. So when he killed James and he won the Jewish people over, then he was kind of excited. Okay, well, let's arrest Peter as well.
Yeah.
So during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, he has Peter seized and put in prison. And he actually has four squads of soldiers guarding him. Like he has a lot of people guarding him. Now, he had reason for that. Because if you remember earlier on in Acts, I don't know if Herod remembers this, but earlier on in Acts, they put him in prison. And the next day they found him wandering around the square,
right?
Preaching Jesus to people. So he was very careful to have these squads of soldiers. And then the church, then, while he's in prison, the church starts earnestly praying for Peter because they think he's going to die.
Right.
So now we're to the next section.
Open it up at verse 6. Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When he had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them on its own accord, and they went out along one street, and immediately the angel left him. Peter came to himself, and he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting."
Right, and so all that the Jewish people were expecting, of course, is Herod's death. So even when he's asleep, they have him chained between two soldiers.
Right. Like
they're very worried about the power of this man.
Right.
It's kind of cool, really.
Yeah.
not pleasant for Peter.
No.
But very cool just the same. So, and actually, it's kind of amazing that Peter was able, maybe he was exhausted and that's why he was sleeping.
Right.
But some people think that he actually had a kind of a spiritual calm about him that he would, because the angel has to kick him in the side to wake him up.
Yeah. Hey, you. Hey. Oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Well, what do I got to do to wake you up?
Yeah.
And as soon as the angel wakes him up, of course, the chains fall off and the angel says, "Dress yourself." The prison opens and he is free.
Right.
Okay.
Verse 12. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked on the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Not Mary's neighbor, but a different Rhoda. Sorry, I couldn't help with that one. If you get that joke, folks, right in. No.
Yeah. And she said to him, "You're going to make it after all."
That's right. Rhoda Morgenstern? Anyway, recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was staying at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept on insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison and said, "Tell these things to James and the brothers." And then he departed and went to another place.
Now,
go ahead.
Oh, are we going to read? Yeah, go ahead. Read the last.
Now, when the day came, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. Yeah, there's the understatement of the year. And after Herod searched for him and did not find him, he examined the sentries and ordered that they be put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there.
Not good to work for these guys.
No,
you know, no. Like we have some pretty bad bosses over the years, but you
know, no one said. Yeah, thanks for screwing that up. By the way, could you stand over against that wall?
Yeah, <please. clears throat> could you put your head in this little? Anyway, so when he realized this, okay, so now we're back to verse 12.
Right.
Goes to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark. And we're pretty sure this is, of course, the Mark that goes with Paul on the missionary journey and then and sucks out and then doesn't do the missionary journey.
Yep.
And then eventually ends up with Barnabas,
yep.
Who Peter supports, by the way. Peter supports John Mark in all of this. They also think that John Mark's house, some think that that's where the Last Supper was.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah. So anyway, I'm not sure about that, but I've heard that anyway. So anyway, so Peter comes to the door, and don't forget, when Peter goes to prison, it says that the church earnestly prayed for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they really went after God and said, you know, God, you please release Peter to us. You know, by all your power and your spirit, please release Peter. Well, Peter starts knocking on the door, and Rhoda answers. And then she doesn't even open the door. She's so excited. She just runs back in, tells everybody.
Yeah.
And they say, you know, you're out of your mind. I mean, Peter's dead. If anything, this is his angel, which is really bad theology, by the way.
Which is an interesting statement, I would think, too, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So don't take that as people become angels.
Right.
I think, remember, this is theology through story. This isn't yeah. tactic. This is narrative, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I better throw that in.
Yeah.
But anyway, the whole church who's been praying so earnestly for him does not for a second believe that he's going to get out of prison, that he's going to.
What? You're nuts. Oy vey.
Is that not very much like us, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
If someone's sick and we pray for them, we have no expectation that God's going to heal them.
Yeah, yeah.
And if he does, well, if you believe in that kind of thing, and he does, you're just shocked out of your mind, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's what happens there. But it is Peter at the door, and he does come in. And he speaks to them, and we don't know what the time period is, but it sounds like it's just overnight, because by morning the soldiers are looking.
Right.
And then they don't even tell you where he goes. He just says, tell these things to James. So this is James, the head of the church. And that's why I said it was James, the apostle, the brother of John, that was killed with the sword.
Right.
And James, the brother of Jesus, who is the head of the church, and he's not killed.
Right.
So he says, go and tell James what happened and the other brothers. And he goes somewhere else. They don't say where.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next day, there's this the disturbance with the soldiers looking for him. And you know that those soldiers are frantically looking for him.
Yeah.
Because they work for Herod. And
yeah. Everyone knows what's going to happen next.
Everybody knows the end of that story.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. This is not. This is not Donald Trump going, you're fired.
No. Yeah, that's right. I will not enter that. I will not join you in that.
Yeah, but anyway, you know what I mean.
Oh, I totally know. And then he goes down to Judea and Caesarea and spent time there. So that will be, I think, Herod that went down to Judea and Caesarea. Caesarea, right? Caesarea. I'm saying Caesarea, but it's Caesarea. So now we get the last little piece and the little canuppance on Herod. And you know what? It's totally unnecessary to mention the death of Herod. But Luke thought he'd throw that in. And he does have a reason for it. And so if we read that, we can talk about it again.
Yeah, you betcha. Verse 20, folks. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. And they came to him with one accord. Having persuaded Blastus, which is one of my favorite Greek names ever.
I love Blastus.
Yeah. What's your name? My name is Blastus.
It almost sounds like somebody out of Popeye.
Yeah, that? It does.
Well, that's Brutus, right?
Yeah. whose last name could have been Blastus. Bruce Blastus. The king's chamberlain, they asked for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. On that appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes and took his seat among the throne and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a god, not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and was eaten by worms and breathed his last. Like, wow.
Well, yeah.
And thank you, you're out. But the word of God increased and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark.
Yeah, so there's the John Mark that we talked about earlier. So the death of Herod, it's kind of interesting because they did with Herod what they were going to do with the Roman emperors, right? I think the first guy that they ever said was a god was Julius Caesar.
Okay.
Because his son, who was the first emperor, forgot his name now, is Augustus Caesar.
Yeah.
He called himself Son of God because Augustus had to, everybody who gets the throne in Rome has to prove themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And so when Julius Caesar died, they had to put someone else in his place, and Augustus was Julius's choice. Well, Augustus was an adopted son. Mm. So they said Julius Caesar was a god, and Augustus said, "I'm the Son of God." Where the, you remember the Son of God stuff comes in the scripture when the Roman soldier says, "This looks like the Son of a God or Son of God." And there's that whole Augustus thing that sits behind that. It's kind
okay.
of.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
But here's Herod. These people are depending on him for food, right? Mm-hmm. The later Roman emperors, they call gods as well, and people would worship them. And it's not like anybody really believed they were gods.
No.
It's a political thing, right? Oh, right. You're a god. We love you. We worship you. Let's get on with our lives and do our business. Like same as in the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
This guy, Herod, so he puts on his royal robes, and all the people, so that they keep favors, they say, "Oh, man, this guy, this is the voice of a god, not of a man." And he accepts that, and God strikes him dead for it. And it says he was eaten by worms. And I don't know what that means. Some people think that it could be, you know, when you die, you're eaten by worms. But there are medical people that suggest this could be like a kind of a colon issue or a colitis or a that kind of a colon cancer or something like that. But we don't know. We just know that God killed him in a miserable manner. And it does not pay to not give God glory as...
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And here's the weird thing. I mean, this guy is not a godly man. He's Idumean, and he's not Jewish. I don't know what level of spirituality they had or what they claimed about God. Right. But God sure expected something from him.
Yeah.
And he didn't give it, and he paid the price.
Yeah.
And you think that at times in our lives, you know, we've been getting off easy sometimes, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Though I still want to get on that plane and get out of here tomorrow.
Notwithstanding.
Notwithstanding. But the word of God increased and multiplied, and we haven't had this for a while. Like the internal problem, external problem hasn't been happening like it did in the first 8 chapters.
Right.
But it did happen here, and again he says, and the word of God increased and multiplied. So people were being saved.
Right.
So you had this Herod issue, it's solved, people are being saved. And now he prepares us for Barnabas and Saul's missionary journey.
Yeah, which is interesting that he brings that in the very last of this, right? I mean, I know where we put the chapter markers are completely random when it comes to how Luke was writing. But right. It's interesting that he kind of introduces this thought right after it too, right? Of like, hey, by the way, Barnabas and Saul came back and they brought with them John.
Yeah, and John, who I mentioned earlier in the chapter, he's going with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he pulls this story together very nicely. It was either redacted or he wrote a very good story to begin with.
Yeah.
Redacted means edited, right?
Yeah.
Either the editors did a good job or he did a very good job pulling this stuff together.
Yeah.
There you are.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I think the next chapter is their first missionary journey begins.
We can take that bold step. Yeah. They're being sent off in 13. So
yeah, there you go.
So folks, that's where we will pick it up next time in about 3 weeks time or so, give or take a bit. We'll pick it up at Acts 13 and we'll see that this the book kind of turns now. It turns to not just Jerusalem, but now it's headed towards Asia Minor and Greece and Thessalonica and all those kind of fun places. Blair, that was great. That was great. Thanks so much for doing that.
Well, I'm glad we were able to do it, Stevie.
Yeah, I'm glad we were able to squeeze this in before you run off and I run off and all that good stuff. Like I said, folks, we'll be back with you in 3 weeks' time. We'll look forward to seeing you then. Thanks so much for joining us on the Apocalypse Podcast.